so I'm going to start recording
this. Feels
now.
Extremely random for me, just FYI.
Me too. Okay. Me too. Yeah. I tell you, Martin's been in and around Hathersage for the last two, maybe 3 years. And I still really don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Or why. It's free form, it seems to me. It is random. There are small businesses here to whom one can talk forever and ever and ever. They don't seem to... There are a lot of people who are prepared to talk. And I sometimes wonder why they want to talk so aimlessly. Talk about anything. If you're going to run a successful business, you have to have some aims, something that you're aiming at, whether you can, however high the bar is set, at least something that you can aim at. And so you cut out all the extraneous froth because it's just a diversion. And that's where, I mean, there's something you've got, which is why I continue to talk to you. but I don't know what it is.
Just out of interest, then, who are you?
Who am I?
Yes, what's your name? Just so I got it on the record.
Michael Shuttleworth.
Right, excellent. Okay. And you?
I've got a business centre which provides home for about 13 businesses. We have tried to attract unusual businesses, businesses with added value, businesses that sit happily with the national park in that they aren't traditional metal bashers or destroyers of the environment, but businesses that probably, you know, we're on a bit of a roll upwards, where we are mostly internet and IT based, where businesses now are much more able to settle and headquarter themselves where they want to live, rather than where they were forced to live because of the way that cities grew up.
Right, so today, so just keep that as a starter for 10. So we're sat in a van.
Yep.
And we've got...
are you recording this?
I'm recording all this,
oh,
yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So I don't want a monologue.
How long will be?
You don't want a monologue? Of course you don't.
No, yeah. I don't want a monologue. I don't want... 10 minutes?
Yeah, perfect.
You can do it.
I don't want to lose my man in the van.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's okay. I shall keep an eye on you. You've already been talking 2.5 minutes, and so far we haven't even heard Tim. So who's Tim? Yeah. Go on, say hello.
Hi, so I'm Tim. I'm from Mindflick. And do you want me to tell you a bit about Mindflick?
You can do. You can say what you want, yeah.
Yeah, so Mindflick is a kind of small company we started in 2014. Our backgrounds are in performance psychology, and we've previously worked a lot in elite sports, so we've professional sports and Olympic sports, and now we've come out to Hathersage and we run a number of kind of workshops and training courses in some of the psychology products that we've designed over the last few years.
Okay, right, I'm going to introduce you now. You don't talk to me.
Okay.
If there's a pair of you in the back, so just have a just chat. So we started off on, you know, where we are, why we are here, whatever, things like that. So, entirely up to you. Have you met each other before?
We have met each other. Michael has sorted us out on a number of things, including the B-man coming today, which you'll be pleased to know.
The B-man's
coming
today.
Yeah, the B-man's coming today.
One of the things that it's not that easy to convert ruined farm buildings into state-of-the-art offices. And occasionally we get swarms of bees, which are very friendly, really. People
really
don't
friendly,
like
yeah.
bees, but they do slightly interfere with courses.
That's
so
right.
We have a problem in moving them.
That's right. And then Michael also has been very helpful in our recent office move and office redesign. So bringing it to... So previously, the company that was in there before, which was Dental IT, we're using it a lot more of as a storage space. And we've obviously wanted to use it as a lot more as a space to bring lots of different people from around the country to the training courses we do. So Michael's been helping us in redesigning and reshaping the office to be a bit more usable for us.
Well, I think Mindflick are absolutely an example of the sort of company that we have been trying to attract to Hathersage. They've got a wide reach. They're a national company. They've grown on the back of technology, modern intellectual property. Their experiences of training, wrong word, of advising the Olympic team, England cricket team, are now being translated into advice to big companies. And again, this is working extraordinarily well, because they have, instead of going to companies around the country, they're inviting them to come to Hathersage, which is very good for the local economy. They've got back-to-back courses running this year. Local hoteliers and delicatessens and the local economy is correspondingly benefiting. Great.
So is that working? As you imagine, then?
Yes, it is working as we manage, and it meets a little bit with Michael's vision for this place. But so when we do the 2-day courses, we'll have people who come and stay at George, or come and stay at the Scotsman, or what's the one up just the road? I can't remember what it's called.
Little John.
Little John, that's it. Yeah.
Haven't they refurbished recently?
They have, yeah. I think so. I've not stayed there, but we've had reports of it's been good, yeah.
Yeah.
We go to the Scotsman's Pack on the first night, so again we kind of take a whole big group there as a meal. During the day we use the deli for lunches. It brings, and what we always get from people is they always love coming out here. The normal first response when they come out here is like, where is Hathersage? But after that, when they get here and they kind of you drive out here and you kind of leave the day-to-day office space, there's a huge benefit to the environment that we're in. So I think it's working how we want. I think it's working a little bit with how Michael's vision for these spaces were as well, in terms of bringing money into the local economy.
I'm sat here looking at a Tesla. Who's that?
That is someone from Dental ITs. So unfortunately they've swapped parking spaces, but
Dental IT have been here right since the beginning, when we set up 8 years ago. They have grown such that they were originally occupying very expensive warehousing space. They've split a bit and left their headquarters here and taken their warehousing elsewhere. But they equally like working. They like counter commuting. Most of the directors are based in
counter commuting
in Sheffield, and they like driving out here in a summer's morning, or indeed on a winter's morning. They find that if they can get on the road, they've got somewhere to park at the other end of it, instead of the inevitable difficulties that arrive in the city centre.
So why isn't everybody doing it? Why is Sheffield building offices and spaces and stuff?
Well, there are some people who like to live in the centre of Sheffield, which is improving. There are others who equally, we aren't a panacea for everybody, but there are certainly enough people who want to come and work in surroundings like this. Where they can go and stretch their legs and find something to eat at lunchtime, or indeed even have it brought to them.
I think the thing around Sheffield is that why a lot of people kind of come here and then end up staying here, I think, is the dual kind of, you're 5 minutes away from the city centre, and it being a relatively big city centre, and then 5 minutes away from coming out to the countryside and being out in spaces like this. So I think,
curiously,
offers a lot.
A number of the people who came, of our happy tenants, who came here with an IT specialisation, one of the common denominators seemed to be walking and climbing. People who...
Cycling.
Certainly, one of our occupants in Orchard House, the new build house, has got a direct view of Stanage Edge, and he said this is just like being in Silicon Valley with Stanage Edge in the background.
Right. where it was one of my big things at the moment is communication, and we touched on it a bit earlier, didn't we, about the idea of why do we do all this? Why is it the blogs and, you know, all this sort of noise and all this sort of business? But we all crave communication. So what's your idea in terms of communication? You like internet ready, connecting speeds, these sort of, it's just sort of general. How do you get on? How does that work with you?
I suppose it's trying to find the right balance for me, of not being so connected to your phone all the time that your whole life has been run by it, but versus the world is very much surrounded, it's very much built around that now, so making sure you are connected to it in enough way. So yeah, I suppose it's somewhere in the spirit of balance.
But your interaction is really with people, rather than, you know, connecting people. I mean, these courses, people travel here. Doing group, what would you call it? Team building.
Do different elements. So we do specific days run for companies, or we get people from different organisations running and becoming accredited in some of the products and some of the tools that we've designed. But yeah, one of the big things we talk about is disconnecting from your kind of context, that your day-to-day context, reconnecting with the space that we're in, reconnecting with the people on the course, reconnecting with the tools that we're training people in.
Oh, okay. Isn't that counterintuitive?
In what way?
Against all the technology, the ideas. Life is changing, moving. I mean, I agree with you. I'm not, but it's interesting.
I think if I might say, one of the advantages of a place like this is that it's on a human scale. Villages are almost the ideal form of development of human civilization. It goes back to Roman legions, which had a definite size, where one person can know the names of all the members of the legion, say about 1,000 people, which is roughly the size of most workable villages, where you've got a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, all the elements that go together to make a livable unit, but where everybody can know each other. So what we'd like to develop here is actually more networking on the same basis within this complex. There are only about 60 or maybe 80 people working here, but again, so people can get together, they know each other by sight, which is again one of the advantages of talking to people you can see, as opposed to anonymously talking to people over blogs, which I have a skepticism about. So what we'd like to do, and I think we're going to do it, we've tried it once or twice, but we need to do it again, is to get people to here together to talk and exchange ideas about what they're doing here. We've got graphic designers, we've got a lighting company, we've got Mindflick, we've got a couple of other IT companies, all of whom, somewhere, there's something which we hope there might be something, some commonality of interest.
Mm. So if we,
I think that aligns with what you're trying to do.
So it's all part of the same...
Part of the same thing.
So you're, I mean... There's an awful lot of psychology involved with business, as well as life. And I mean, yeah, exactly. So your courses, do everybody buy into them? I mean, or is it sort of duped?
I mean, people have come here out of choice. So
do they?
Most of the time.
It's not sort of MD saying you've got to go on a course.
No, we've got, with the consultancy work we do, where we might have a contract with a company in which we're going to go and do a specific leadership course or specific leadership, they come out around a specific thing, then they'll potentially be picked out by their organization to come on. With the majority of work that we're now doing, is around running workshops and training days for people who are already working with people and want to train in a tool that will help them kind of enhance the work that they're already doing. So our main product is a tool called Spotlight, which is a personality profiling tool that helps people understand and get the most out of their strengths and also work out how they can be a bit more adaptable, a bit more flexible day to day. And the people that come and train in that are practitioners who are then working with other people. So it has kind of a knock-on
effect.
They're
spreading the word then.
Yeah, spread it and using the tool themselves in their practice in whatever they're doing, whether they're from a HR background or they are psychologists or they're coaching from a coaching background, or we've had teachers in, we've had head teachers who are using it with their staff. We've actually had a climber in who runs various development stuff himself out in the peak, so he's come and trained in it. So yeah, we get people from all different kind of walks of life who the commonality is they work with people, and yeah, Spotlight is just a tool for kind of helping people opening up those conversations in a.
Is it technology based or is it a more practical thing?
It's technology based in that it creates a profile. The tool that they're training in is a profile that is generated through software. The outcome of it is a conversation. So the intended intervention or the intended point of that we're trying to enhance is in the interaction and in the conversation. The tool itself is software based, yeah. Oh,
okay. Right, it's interesting that this conversation has come about as between the three of us. A lot of, you know, where I was just kind of get to know. Just, do you know each other's background? Just ignore me.
I doubt if Tim really knows. I don't think we've ever discussed it, Tim.
I expect you've
probably got your. You've got a view, but I don't know how it corresponds to truth.
I don't know a lot, really. I think I know a bit about your background. I know is just that you're from a family. Your family background, I suppose, and the story around this place with your family, which I remember you telling.
Well, I suppose, yeah. I mean, inevitably, these buildings were built by my family and they've been into their third iteration.
We're talking centuries here, aren't we?
What?
We're talking centuries here. How long?
Well, they were only built. They were built in the 1840s as the outbuildings to Hathersage Hall. Then they became a farm. And they were, the upkeep and maintenance was entirely dependent on the income from the farm and the attitude of the farmer. And eventually, farming being so difficult, farmer eventually retired. Mm-hmm. And we developed them to another use. They were in a dangerously dilapidated state.
So in a changing world.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
But I think they're an enhancement visually to the village, and they're paying their way. Mm-hmm. Dealing with listed buildings, and particularly buildings that were built for a completely different purpose, I mean, to house horses, and is a very expensive business. And we haven't been entirely successful in getting rid of all the perhaps unwelcome inhabitants like bees. Depending on your view, of course. So
Tim's discovered the bees. I know about the bees because we cleared them up we managed to get them all out.
Well, I might say also that there are quite a lot of beekeepers around here who don't necessarily look after their bees extraordinarily well.
I actually know a beekeeper who offered as an alternative solution. He said if bees are coming back, he said the best solution for that, which I need to speak to you about actually, is that you set up a dummy hive. You set up a dummy hive in just somewhere local in which when they are swarming here...
We did do that up on the roof.
Done it?
We did it, yeah.
Damn.
But my advice is that you have to control the queen.
Mm.
And if you clip one of her wings, she flies around in circles and stays with the hive.
Sounds...
Instead of taking off, and as happened here. And we... I mean, what happens is that the hives are not properly looked after. If the hives are looked after and controlled, then they're fine and they produce honey. But if they're not adequately looked after, they grow too much, they eat all the honey, and then they eventually like an amoeba, they split off and go and try and find somewhere else to, which is not always entirely welcome. I mean, it depends on your viewpoint, of course.
But Tim, you're younger, quite a lot younger than Michael. So do you have a history in the area? I mean, how come you ended up?
So I'm originally from Sheffield. I'm from Sheffield and left for a few years to go to university and then got a job up in Newcastle and then ended up back here just through opportunity of a job in 2012, just before the London Olympics, which is when I was working in sport. And yeah, completed my PhD in Sheffield, as well as working for some sports at the Institute of Sport, which is based in Attercliffe. And then when MindFlick started in 2014, split my role between MindFlick and the Institute of Sport. And then as MindFlick's got busier and busier since the start of this year, gone full time in MindFlick.
Right, so you started at EIS?
Yeah, that's my background.
So you know Peter?
Peter Elliott. Yeah.
I must go.
You've got to go as well. Yeah. That's brilliant. That's great.
So I do know Peter Elliott, though. Legend.
Peter Elliott, well, there you are. So all these links, that's all about. That was 21 minutes, so we are already gone. But brilliant. Okay, done.
You're going to chop that up.
I'll chop up that bit and we'll see what happens.